I want to continue a series that I've been in for the last few weeks, okay? And the title of the series is this, The Thousand Hills Code. The Thousand Hills Code, values we ride by for fulfilling our purpose. Values we ride by for fulfilling our purpose. Here's what I've learned. You ready? If people understand why we do what we do, if they understand, you know, how we do what we do and who we're called to reach, then they're going to be able to support what we do, right? I mean, here I've learned this. If you understand what we're doing, then you can become unified with us in helping us reach the people that God has called us to reach. And to do that, we've created what we call the Thousand Hills Code. I don't know where my little code is right here, but if you have never gotten one of these, we have these on our guest bar out there. This lists all the codes or values that we ride by for fulfilling our purpose. So grab one of those so that you can kind of understand exactly what maybe I'm talking about today. But here's the thing. To help us understand this, we desire to develop what we call a value-driven culture. A value-driven culture. And you say, what does that mean? Well, a value-driven culture is a healthy, effective, and growing culture that is driven by what an organization values. That's what we desire to have here. You say, well, why? Well, you show me a strong church. You show me a church that's reaching people. You show me a church that's growing, and I'll show you a church that's organized around strong values. Amen? I mean, that's a good thing, yeah. On the opposite side of that, you show me a struggling, mostly ineffective church, a church that's dead, a church that's not growing, and I'll show you a church that's organized around unclear or unhealthy values. You can do it. And it's sad. I mean, I look around and I see some churches, and again, they're dying, they're dead, it's because they don't organize around the values that God has called them to be, and they're just kind of treading water. Well, here's the point. We're not going to be one of those churches. We're going to be a church that desires to grow. And so we desire to know what we believe, know who God has called us to reach, and know how he's uniquely called us to reach the world. And so at Thousand Hills, we've created a code. They're short, life-giving statements that define what we value. And again, when you understand these, then it builds unity. So we've looked at five of them so far. I want to recap real quick, and then I'll dive into today's values that I want to cover. Number one is this. We ride for his brand. We ride for his brand. It's all about Jesus. Can I get a clap on that? I mean, that's good stuff. It's all about Jesus. That's first and foremost. Number two is this. We ride for the unchurched. We ride for the unchurched. We are a cowboy church that is called to reach the unchurched world. And you say, well, why do you put that in there? Well, we want to be like Jesus. Just like we want to ride for his brand, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come so that we could have a holy, a little Christian clique or a little Christian, corral where all of us just kind of hang out and all the sick people don't get in. No, we are a hospital for sick people. We are people that want to reach imperfect people. And so some of you guys are in this boat and you're unchurched. Maybe you don't know anything about Jesus. Maybe you don't like church. Maybe you don't like preachers. Well, I brought Crown today. I'll get to that in a second. But we're not having communion, by the way. But we do desire to reach the unchurched. Number three is this. We ride by the word. We ride by God's word, and God's word is the key to our success in our personal lives, and it's key to success in the life of the church. Here's the point. We're not here just to create, little catchy phrases or, share our own opinions. No, we're here to build what we build on the foundation of God's word. You know why? Because it's the rock. And if we will read it, meditate on it, and then apply it to our lives, then the Bible promises that we will be what? Successful. Successful. And so everything we do, we base on Scripture. So we ride by his word. Number four was this. We honor those who ride point. We honor those who lead us. There are people that give their sweat, their blood, their time, their money, everything to give you what you get to experience every week at this barn. And they are leading us, and we are going to honor them. We're going to show them the honor that they deserve. Number five was this, and I'll start on my points for today. Number five, we ride our best horse. You say, what do you mean? Well, this life isn't a practice run. This life is the final run, so we're going to ride our best horse. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, we are going to practice excellence in every area of our church, every area. We desire to be excellent at what we're doing and to be the best that we can be. And again, it's not about perfection, because perfection is impossible. Amen? It's about giving all we've got and doing it with excellence. And so those are the first five that we've looked at. Well, I want to look at a couple more today, and then I want to be done. Number six is this, and you can write this down if you're taking notes. We ride to be generous. Let me say it again. We ride to be generous. In other words, we ride by the code that believes that it is more blessed to give than to actually receive. It's more blessed to give than to actually receive. Now, some of you guys are wondering, why does Bo have this bottle of Crown Royal? Well, come to Ranch Groups tonight and you're going to figure it out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Anybody ever seen one of these? Anybody have your grandpa, they collect $2 bills and they put them in there? You know what I'm saying? Or they have change in there, or they'll give you a gift or something, and they'll have a blue sock and they'll give that to you. Some of you guys, you've never seen that. Maybe you've seen that sock too much. I don't know, but here's my point. I did a little history on Crown Royal, and actually it's a Canadian whiskey, and this is, what is this? This is probably a gallon or a half. This is the largest bottle of Crown Royal that they sell, and it was actually donated to our church. And I asked the gal, I'm not going to name any names, but I asked the gal, I said, is this the first time you've ever donated liquor to the church? She said, yes. And I said, well, I like making history, so I'll accept it. So here's the thing. I did some research on this. And you know how this came about, Crown Royal Whiskey? It came about in 1939, the King of Britain and the Queen of Britain, Queen Elizabeth, they visited Canada and toured Canada. And because they were touring Canada, Canada decided to give them a generous gift, and therefore they created Crown Royal Whiskey. And this was their gift. And you say, well, why is it, got a crown on it? Well, that's because they were honoring the royalty of the King of Britain, Great Britain, and Queen Elizabeth. And so here's the thing. Crown Royal, they sponsor a lot of things. Maybe you like NASCAR. There's a Crown Royal NASCAR. They sponsor, horse racing, all kinds of things. Maybe anybody watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Yeah, a few of you guys did. Well, they sponsor some horses and all this stuff. But here's what I want you to get. Last year, they started a brand new campaign, and they have a slogan that they created that I want you to take a look at. Live generously, and life will treat you royally. Now, when you see that, you're probably thinking, well, that's no big deal. But when I saw that, I thought, that is a great illustration for church. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing. Out of this campaign, they've created, Crown Royal's created over five or six commercials that talk about being generous with your listening. In other words, take time to listen to people. Being generous with your welcoming. When people come up, and visit you or come home from the war, you welcome them home, right? I mean, being generous with your time, giving your time and serving. And out of this campaign that Crown Royal has created, guess what? They've raised almost $116 million that they've given away to charities. $116 million is what they've helped raise. They've given hundreds of thousands of care packages to troops that are all across the world fighting for our freedom. Amen? And here's the thing. They've rewarded a lot of people that live a generous life. And you don't have to be a person who drinks whiskey to figure out that that is a great campaign. That's a great campaign. And you say, well, what's the application? Well, here's the application. Crown Royal built their company on showing generosity. I mean, think about it. They gave this gift to the king and the queen of Great Britain. And today, they are meeting the needs all across the world by showing generosity. And you say, well, what's the result? Well, Crown Royal is the number one Canadian whiskey sold in the USA. Number one. And in 2016, their rye version of their whiskey was the World Whiskey of the Year. The World Whiskey of the Year. Now, you say, well, what's the point? What does that have to do with the church? Well, here's my point. You ready? If a whiskey company understands what it means to be generous, then I believe that the church should understand what it means to be generous. Amen? You say, well, what's the point? Well, here's the thing. We are not selling spirits. We are offering new life to people that need it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so here's the thing. When the church is generous with our money, with our time and our talents, we're not showing an earthly king that we appreciate him. We're showing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we appreciate him by being generous to him. Amen? And so you say, well, what's the point? Well, how do we be generous? And what does that look like at Thousand Hills Ranch Church? Well, I want you to look at the scripture. Proverbs 11 describes it. Listen to what it says. It says, give what? Freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose what? Everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be what? Refreshed. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You say, what does it mean to be generous? Well, because I'm a preacher, I always like to use, you know, illustrations and try to teach my kids things too, right? Because I'm a preacher, right? So if I'm going to teach it to you guys, I want my kids to understand it as well. And so I try to teach my kids this last week how to be generous. And I use the example of candy. All our kids love candy. Anybody like candy? I like candy. But my kids, they like candy. And so I use this example. I said, if your brother, your little stinky brother, wants a piece of candy, like let's say Skittles, and you go and you grab one Skittle and you hand him one Skittle, guess what that is? That's kind. And you're being obedient, but you're not being generous. If you want to be generous, then you will actually tell them to open their hand and you will pour a bunch of Skittles into their hand. And then you will allow them the opportunity to say, no, 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 that's too many. Here, you can have some back. Do you see the point? I mean, being generous is doing more than what's expected. And I love it. I love when my kids are generous. I praise them. I hug them. I kiss them. I'll buy them whatever they want. You can have a gallon of Skittles because you actually show generosity. And you say, well, what's the point? Well, when we're generous as a church, guess what? We are to do what's more than what's expected. You say, well, give me an example. Well, when someone asks us to pray for them, I mean, praying for them one time is kind. Praying for them, you know, that time right there in front of them is kind, and that means a lot to them. But being generous with your prayers means that you set a timer every day for the next few weeks and you pray for them. That's being generous. You say, what else? Well, we can give a few minutes of our time to maybe set up and tear down, you know, every once in a while. And that's kind. I mean, but here's the thing. Being generous means you sign up for a team and you serve weekly. And you serve monthly because you're wanting to be generous with your time. Are you with me? Doing more than what's expected and actually giving more. Giving beyond what people expect. And so here's the thing. At Thousand Hills, we want to be known as a church that is generous. Not just one that does what's expected. I mean, we've been able to bless a lot of people. And sometimes, guess what? Generosity, sometimes it feels irrational. I don't know if you've been there. I don't know if you've been able to give irrationally to people, but that's something we thrive on. And you say, well, why do you do that? Here's why. Because the Bible teaches us to be irrational in our giving. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at it with me. It says this. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your what? Give your coat too. If a soldier demands you to carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. I don't know if you, when you read that, if you think, man, that's rational stuff there. Guess what? When I read that, I think it's irrational. I mean, if someone's suing me and they're asking me for my shirt, I'm not going to give them my coat. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says that that's what we're supposed to do. It says if you're going to, you know, if a soldier says, hey, carry my gear for a mile, we're called to carry it 2 miles. Because that's what it looks like. And can I just let you in on a secret? A lot of what God calls us to do, it doesn't seem irrational. It doesn't seem rational. I mean, are you with me? I mean, you may be thinking, well, God told me to do this. He told me to, you know, to join this team, or he told me to create this ministry. He told me to give, you know, this brand new this or whatever it is. A lot of times that's irrational, but that's exactly what God wants you to do. Can I give you an example in our church? And I'm going to brag on our church. Just in the last little over two years, because of your giving and because of your generosity, we've given away over $172,000. $172,000. And some of you guys are like, oh my goodness, why did you do that? I mean, that's so irrational. I mean, we could have used that money to meet our own needs. I mean, we've got a building that we're trying to build. Why don't we spend that money on the things that we need? Well, here's the truth. We could do that, but guess what? We value being generous. And we believe that the Bible, when it says in all things, in Acts chapter 20, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to what? Yeah. Let's say it together. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here's what we're about. We are going to give to those in need. We're going to do it every time. I mean, sometimes people go, well, you really want to give that much? You really want to, you know, do that? And I'm always like, you can't outgive God. I mean, God gave his son Jesus, crucified him on a cross, allowed him to be crucified on a cross so that I could have eternal life. So can I outgive God? Absolutely not. Are we a savings and loan company that's going to hoard up all this money so that we can have a little kitty set back in our blue sack? So that we can be secure? Nope, we're not. Do we have money set back? Absolutely. Can we pay our bills for 6 months? Absolutely. But everything on top of that, I want our church to spend every dime, because every dime means that we've reached one more person. We're doing whatever we've got. We're giving it all away so that we can reach people and increase the population of heaven. That's what it's all about. And so we believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you say, okay, Bo, how do I make sure that I'm practicing generosity toward God? Well, here's the answer. You put him first in everything that you do. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'll give you a few examples. Matthew 6:33, it says this, but seek what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Given to you as well. And so you say, okay, but how do I seek God first in every area of my life? Well, I'll give you a few examples. These are things that you can live by. You ready for this? And number one is this. Worship and serve God the first of every week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. You say, well, how can I be generous toward God? Well, you give him Sunday. You give him Sunday morning. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are here. Right? But I want to encourage you, make it a point to be in church the first day of the week so that you can worship him generously. I mean, again, when you come in here and David's singing the songs, you need to open your mouth. I know you probably go, I sing like a crow. I'm not a mockingbird. Well, listen, Jesus doesn't give a flip. I mean, he may turn the volume down a little bit on you. But I'm just telling you, he appreciates when you're generous with your worship. And so give him the first day of the week. Worship him. And not only just come to sing the songs or hear the, you know, preacher and watch him bring Crown Royal into the church. Don't just come for that. Serve generously. Give your time to serve on a team the first part of every week. You know, and the second thing is this. Spend the first part of your day with the Lord. You say, how do I put Him first in my life? You spend the first part of every day that you have with Him. You say, well, why? I mean, and what do I do on the first part of every day of my life? You know, here's what I try to do. I try to read God's word because, again, it's going to help me succeed that day and for the rest of my life. So I'm going to read His word. I'm going to pray. I might listen to some good Christian music so that I can set the pace for my day to be a better day. Anybody experienced this when you've spent time with the Lord in the morning? Raise your hand if you've done it. Yeah. Some of you guys have spent time with the Lord in the morning and you're not as crabby during the day. You actually enjoy your job and your day just goes better. Again, that's because you've made God first. You put Him first in your life. And you say, can I not read the Bible at night? Can I not read the Bible during the day? Absolutely. You can read it any time of the day. But I'm telling you, if I focus in on God in the morning, I'm telling you, it helps my whole day and it helps everything kind of work out better. That's just me. But I would encourage you to practice that. First part of your everyday. And here's the third thing. Bring back to God the first 10% of your income. I don't ever get claps on that one. But I'm just telling you, some of you guys need to hear this. You know, you need to be generous with your money. You need to be generous with your tithe. God tells us to be generous toward Him. You say, well, why? Here's why. Because it's all His anyway. And you think, I'm a self-made man. I built this business from the ground up. No, you didn't. God gave you the eyes so that you can see. God gave you the hands so that you can work. God gave you the feet so that you can walk. And so every dime that you think is yours is actually His. And guess what? He can take it away. He can take it all away. And I'm just telling you, be generous with your money. The Bible says that we're to give back 10% of our income. And some of you guys, again, you're like, I don't tithe. I don't give a flip. I mean, I'm prosperous. My business is doing good, man. You know, I don't need God to give me anything else. Okay. Or some of you guys are like, man, I don't make any money. You know, my little, you know, tithe wouldn't make a difference. Here's what I think. I believe God when He says in His word that whatever we give to Him, He will do exceedingly more than we could ever ask for with whatever we give back to Him. I believe that. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. Try it. Just try it. I mean, we here at Thousand Hills, we give you a 3-month tithe challenge. If you give for 3 months and God doesn't meet your needs, guess what? We'll give you all your money back. We'll do it. You say, well, how do I get involved in that? We've got a little card that you fill out. We want to know that you're in part of that, that you want to be a part of that challenge. And we will, again, we're not going to track it. We're not going to do anything. But if you come to us afterwards and you say, hey, Bo, you know, God didn't meet my needs. I gave for 3 months. He didn't meet my needs. And all that. Guess what? We'll give you every dime that you gave back in those 3 months. Some of you guys are like, that's stupid, man. Why would you do that? Well, I believe the word of God. I believe it's true. And can I just tell you, we've had people take us on that challenge and they've come to me afterwards and say, I never missed it. That 10% that I give regularly now, I never missed it. And the 90% that I have left over has gone twice as far than the 100% that I kept all my life. I'm just telling you. You say, oh, that's the preacher, just want my money. I've always said it this way. I don't need your money. God does not take care of me because you give. He takes care of me because I give. If I will give, He will take care of my needs, not if you give. And you say, well, why do we need the money? Because we're trying to build a church. We're trying to reach people. We're trying to build a barn. We don't have enough money to finish that barn. It's going to sit there if we don't give. And that's okay. I mean, if that's what happens, but I'm just telling you, God wants to do a lot with the little that you think you have. It's not a little, by the way. Every dime counts. And so bring back the first 10% of your income and God will show you what it means to be generous. And some of you, you figured this out. I mean, I've talked to people, you know, daily or, you know, weekly, or they come to me and they say, Bo, I started tithing. And guess what? It's the biggest blessing that I've ever had in my life. It's more fun than buying a new set of, you know, whatever, Spurs. I mean, it's more fun than, you know, actually going on a shopping spree is giving money to people and giving money to the church. I'm just telling you, once you experience that, you'll never stop tithing. And when you do, if you ever do stop tithing, you're going to feel the strain. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's been in my life. So here's the bottom line. We believe that if we live generously to God, He's going to treat us royally. Amen? Be at ranch groups tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Number seven is this. I want to roll through these real quick. Number seven, we ride for the next generation. You say, what do you value? What else do you value at Thousand Hills? We ride for the next generation. Look at this. We will pursue, we will reach, we will create opportunities for young people to lead in our church now, not just in the future. And you say, well, why do you do that? Because I'm just telling you, the Bible teaches us that young people, again, they are not to be overlooked. They are actually to be used to bring glory to God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says this, don't let anyone think less of you because you are what? You're young. But set an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love and faith, and in your purity. Guess what? The Lord wants our teenagers and our children to passionately love Him and serve Him. And you say, well, okay, Bo, what does that look like? I mean, you value the next generation. What does that look like at Thousand Hills Ranch Church? Well, here's the number one thing that I'll tell you that makes a difference in the next generation. You ready? Are you with me? If we're going to reach the next generation, we have to be willing to change. Some of you guys are looking at me like, change? What's that? You know, I mean, I experience some people and they're like, man, we don't want to change that. I mean, it's already going really well. We've done that forever. And you know what I call those things? Sacred cows. Sacred cows. I mean, I've been in churches where you can't go into that room. I mean, that's our room. I mean, we got carpet in there. You can't let the kids in that room. I mean, you might tear it up. I mean, and all those things that are sacred cows. Well, can I tell you what? At our church, we are in the cow tipping business. We're in the cow tipping business because if something becomes a sacred cow, then it becomes useless. It becomes useless. And so we have to be willing to change. And you say, well, I'm not good with that. You know, I don't understand, you know, why we have to change things. Well, here's the point. Because we want to reach the next generation. And you have to do that. You have to change to do that. You say, well, how do we prove that we value this? Well, here's how we do it at Thousand Hills. We invest time. We invest money. We sacrifice to be able to minister to our kids in our ranch kids ministry. I'll give you a few examples. We created a new space for your kids to be able to worship. It's clean. It's all brand new. I mean, it's safe. All those things so that your kids can learn about Jesus. We have people every week that prepare a lesson to be able to teach your kids about Jesus. We have volunteers who volunteer and care for your kids in the nursery. I mean, think about it. You say, well, what can you teach kids in the nursery about Jesus? Guess what? All of our leaders, they pray for your kids while they're in the nursery. They do. They do. They pray for kids in the nursery. And you say, what's that going to do for a little baby? It's going to change their life. You say, well, they don't know it. Well, they will know it. And one day, hopefully, the person that's praying for them now will be able to speak truth in their life and be able to say, you know what? When you were 2 years old, I held you and I prayed for your future mate. And you're getting married today. And I want to say that I believe that God has answered my prayers. When your kid was 2 years old. And so we invest in that. We plan yearly events like our end of the year skate party. I mean, we give, here's the cool thing. When your kids come to ranch group or ranch kids, guess what? We give them a goodie bag if they're a first time guest in our ranch kids. But here's the other thing. We've taken that a step further. And the week that they come to ranch kids, we write them a handwritten note thanking them for visiting our ranch kids ministry. You say, why do you do that? Because we want those kids to be excited about church. We want them to know that they're loved. And here's what else we've learned. If we can get the kids to come to church and the kids, a lot of times they'll get their parents out of bed. That's a little secret that I just let you in on. But it works, right? If your kids are excited because they're going to get something in church, they're going to wake you up and they're going to annoy the crap out of you until you get out of bed and they're going to ask you to come to church. And so again, we write them handwritten notes. We intentionally sing songs that are going to reach the next generation. And guess what? We're going to continue to do that. Some people are like, why can't we just sing all the old hymns? Why can't we just do all the old stuff? Listen, we're going to sing the new stuff. We're going to incorporate the new stuff. We're going to bring it to new heights so that we can reach the next generation. That's just what we're going to do. The last thing I'll say is we're looking to hire a youth minister, our youth pastor. We don't have the money to do that, but we're praying that God would provide the money so that we can hire someone to lead our teenagers to closer to Jesus. And so that's what we're doing. And you say, well, why? Here's why. Because we want the next generation to know and love Jesus. That's what we want. And some of you guys are like, well, I'm old. Do you value me? Can I just say this? Absolutely. Absolutely. What you're getting to experience right now is because we value you. The music that we sing is because we value you. The ranch groups that we have every night on Sunday nights are for you. The Real McCoy Men's Ministry is for you. The Cowgirl Couture Men's or Women's Ministry is for you. All of those things are for you. But here's what I'm going to say to you, and I want you to understand this. I will not sacrifice the next generation on the altar of yours and my preferences. Not going to do it. So many times we're like, well, we're not going to change that. I mean, we can't change that. Well, if it reaches the next generation, guess what? We're going to change it. We're going to embrace what the next generation embraces to reach the kids of tomorrow. And you say, why? I mean, what's at stake if we don't ride for the next generation? Here's what's at stake. The church will not grow. We're going to be a bunch of gray heads dying out like an old herd of cattle. And no one's going to be there to carry the torch that we've started here at Thousand Hills. And you say, what else? Well, our world will become more and more evil because kids aren't getting the truth from the Word of God. That's what's at stake. I mean, and our kids are going to fail at everything they do in life because they don't understand the truth of God's word. And so that's what's at stake. And so we ride for the next generation. The last thing I want to say is number 8, we enjoy the ride. We enjoy the ride. We get a little Western. We have a lot of fun. We bring Crown to church. We're not going to drink this, by the way. And I'm not sending it home with any of you guys. It was a gift to our church. You say, why do you do that? Well, we want to actually enjoy the ride. We believe that we are grateful and we're going to have a lot of fun because we're grateful for God's grace and love. Listen to Psalm 37:4. Take what? What's the second word? Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's what I want to, I'm going to close in on here in just a second. I love this. I love this. You know why? You know why I love enjoying it? You know, God and love enjoying church? Because I think so many people have gotten stuck in this fuddy-duddy idea that church is supposed to be boring. And they get stuck in this rut. But here's what I believe. I believe that God rejoices when we have fun and we actually get a little Western for him. He enjoys that. I mean, he actually encourages it in the Word of God. Look at Psalm 100. What's the first word? Shout for what? Joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his people. We are the people of and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Bible says, shout for the Lord. Shout to the Lord. You know, sing joyful songs. Why? Because he's made us. Because we are His. Because we live and we grow in His pasture. And He is good. He's good. I mean, I probably have never heard this, but I know people sometimes think this. And here's what they think. Hey, you know what? You guys are having way too much fun. I mean, you guys, you know, smile too much. And if you smile too much and if you have too much fun at church, then you're probably not taking God serious enough. Can I just give you, I'll just let you in on a little secret. There's enough crap in our world to be sad. There's enough crap in our world to be dreary about. And I want to make Thousand Hills Ranch Church and every Sunday morning the happiest hour of the week. It's happy hour. And so listen, you may say, well, why do you enjoy this so much? Why do you want to do this? Because here's what I've learned. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And some of you are mourning today. Some of you are sad today. Can I just tell you, if you will find your joy in the Lord, He will strengthen you. Stop drowning it in things like this and start allowing the Holy Spirit to pour Himself all over you so that you can actually be healed, so that you can be taken from being broken to be put back together. That's what He wants to do. And if you'll get off your little pity party and out of your little pit that you think you got to stay in to be, you know, so people will notice you, get out of that pit. Allow God to get you out of that pit so that you can find the joy in the Lord. He's the only one who can satisfy you. He's the only one who can do it. And so these are the things that we ride by so that we can fulfill our purpose. We are generous. We value the next generation, and we enjoy our ride with Christ. We enjoy our ride with Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's a question that I have for you. I got a few questions. The first one is this. How generous are you? How generous are you? Again, many of you are very generous. You are, and I praise God for that. But how generous are you with your time? I mean, is church an option, or is it something that you've committed to do and be here every week? Because you want to put God first the first part of your week. You say, well, how do I be generous toward God? Well, you show up and you worship Him because He's first in your life. Are you generous with your time every day? I mean, you say, I don't have time to do anything. I mean, I'm so busy. I got this business. I got kids. I got all this stuff. Listen, maybe you have to make time to be able to worship God. Here's what I've learned. If the devil can't cause you to sin in certain big ways, he'll make you busy. Because when he can get you distracted on all this earthly crap that's going on, all the stuff that's temporary, guess what? You're useless in eternity. And the devil loves it. And so, again, are you generous with your time? Are you generous with your time at church? Are you on a team? Are you serving generously, not just, you know, giving a here, giving there, whatever? Are you generous with your money? Again, some people think it's awkward to talk about money in church. I don't, because the Bible talks about money. And so we talk about it, because the truth is it's more for your blessing than it is for anybody else's. And so, are you generous with your income? Here's the next question. Are you being used to reach the next generation? Or do you just judge the next generation? Oh, those millennials, I mean, they're just a bunch of little pansies and they're a bunch of little babies who just think the life's all about them. Yep, maybe so. But guess what? We're going to reach them. We're going to reach them for the glory of God. And can I just tell you, they're not all that way. I know a lot of young people who, again, they want to make a difference more than the older people. They want to change the world. They want to do things that nobody else is doing. And we're going to reach them. We're going to hire them. We're going to use them so that we can reach the next generation. And so are you going to be encouraging of that? Are you going to put your arm around some young people and actually embrace them and actually maybe even mentor them so that they can, again, be successful in life? I hope that you will, because they're not only who we want to use now, they are the future of our church. And so I encourage you to encourage the next generation, build them up, give your time so that we can serve the next generation and reach them. And here's the last thing. Are you enjoying your ride with Christ? Here's what I've learned. When people see us having fun, actually worshiping God, guess what? It attracts them. It attracts the lost. It attracts the unchurched people that are outside these walls, because they get to come and they get to experience maybe something they've never experienced, and that's having fun in church. That's actually enjoying what is, you know, saying or what is preached or whatever. I mean, they get to see us actually live a life of joy. And so again, maybe you need to change your tone. Maybe you need to change your expression. Maybe you need to change, you know, again, the way that you live life and stop being a sourpuss and start showing God that you actually enjoy Him. Listen, God'll use you like He's never used you before, because you're actually enjoying Him. And so some of you need to make those commitments today. You need to make a commitment to be generous toward God. You need to make a commitment to reach the next generation. You need to make a commitment to actually enjoy this ride for the glory of God. I hope that you'll make those commitments today. You say, but what do I do now? Well, again, we want to connect with you. If you have questions or you have, you know, if you have anything, if you make a decision today, you want to know more about Jesus, how to accept Him into your life, listen, that's why we're here. Heather's going to come. She's going to tell you how you can connect with us so that you can come alongside of us and you can ride with us in being able to fulfill our purpose that God has called us to do. And so I hope that you'll connect with us. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to worship You today. I thank You for the joy that it is to share the things that You've called us to do and to be about. And Lord, may we as a church continue to keep our eyes on You and to serve for Your glory and to give for Your glory and to help this church grow for Your glory. Because it is all about You. We ride for Your brand, and we thank You for the opportunity to get to ride for such an amazing God, the God of the universe, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And so we praise You for that opportunity, and we give You all the glory. It's in Your holy name I pray. Amen.